Today, words matter in crypto land, but what's the real agenda? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, Bitcoin and other major cryptocurrencies slumped after the People's Bank of China affirmed that the digital tokens cannot be used as a form of payment. The largest cryptocurrency fell in New York, continuing a week-long slide sparked by Elon Musk's back-and-forth comments on Tesla's holdings of the coin. Bitcoin is now at its lowest level since early February, and Ether lost more than 7%, whilst last week's sensation internet computer continued its plunge and Dogecoin also slid. Earlier this year, when Tesla added Bitcoin to its balance sheet, CEO Elon Musk became an instant hero in the cryptocurrencies community. Then he started tweeting about Dogecoin, which is a parody of the whole thing, and started to go from hero to troll. Then last week, Tesla announced that it would no longer accept Bitcoin as a payment because of its energy consumption, making the heel turn complete. But a statement he made on Saturday night about Dogecoin really picked open an old Bitcoin scab. That comment might seem innocuous enough. What's not to like about faster and cheaper transactions? But it actually struck right to the heart of an old fight within the Bitcoin world about how the currency would scale. From 2015 through 2017, the Bitcoin world was almost torn into two by competing visions for the currency. One group, the small blockers, argued that Bitcoin must be a decentralized store of value, even if that meant high fees and slow transaction times. Another group, which had more corporate backing at the time, wanted Bitcoin to evolve into a platform for fast and cheap payments. Their vision was to expand the size of each Bitcoin block, allowing more space for transactions, which in theory would also lower the fees paid to miners. The small block contingent argued that there were better ways to scale Bitcoin for payment using so-called layer 2 solutions, and that by adding more payments directly to the chain itself, it would become cost prohibitive for individuals to run a full node to monitor the network, thus sacrificing decentralization. After all, if you're willing to sacrifice decentralization for speed, we have great tools ready for that, like the credit card network or indeed PayPal. Ultimately, the small blockers won, and the big blockers broke away and launched Bitcoin Cash, which has largely languished over the past 3 years. With his Saturday tweet, Musk immediately revived a fight which had been dormant for a long time. Now, Zhang Wu, a former CEO of the Bitcoin chip mining company Bitmain, who at the time was one of the leading big block advocates and a force behind Bitcoin Cash, sprang into action with a series of tweets on the subject. Other Bitcoiners took to Twitter to attack Musk's seemingly dated contribution to the crypto scaling debate. Now, of course, the crypto world runs on memes. Already, Bitcoin has been treading water, with much of the fascination migrating towards meme coins or DeFi, which has been more active on Ethereum and other competing chains. With Bitcoin well off its recent highs, Musk's revival of the block size fight is just another annoyance for the community. But we think the People's Bank of China's statement that the digital tokens cannot be used as a form of payment is much more significant and highlights the clash between central bankers and decentralized coins. Virtual currencies should not and cannot be used in the market because they're not real currencies, according to a notice posted on PBOC's official WeChat account. Finance and payments institutions are not allowed to price products or services with virtual currency, the note said. So China has banned financial institutions and payment companies from providing services relating to cryptocurrency transactions and warned investors against speculative crypto trading. It was China's last attempt to clamp down on what was a burgeoning digital trading market. Under the ban, such institutions, including banks and online payments channels, must not offer clients any services involving cryptocurrency, such as registration, trading, clearing and settlement, three industry bodies said in a joint statement on Tuesday. Recent cryptocurrency prices have skyrocketed and plummeted, and speculative trading in cryptocurrency has rebounded, seriously infringing on the safety of people's property and disrupting the normal economic and financial order, they said in the statement. But it's worth noting that while China has banned crypto exchanges and initial coin offerings, they have not barred individuals from holding cryptocurrencies, at least so far. The institutions must not provide saving, trust, or pledging services of cryptocurrency, nor issue financial products related to cryptocurrency, the statement also said. Now, these moves were not the first against digital currencies. In 2017, China shut down its local cryptocurrency exchanges, smothering a speculative market that had accounted for 90% of global Bitcoin trading. In June 2019, the People's Bank of China issued a statement saying that it would block access to all domestic and foreign cryptocurrency exchanges and initial coin offering websites, aiming to clamp down on all cryptocurrency trading with a ban on foreign exchanges. The statement also highlighted the risks of cryptocurrency trading, saying virtual currencies are not supported by real value. Their prices are easily manipulated and trading contracts are not protected by Chinese law. Those three industry bodies are the National Internet Finance Association of China, the China Banking Association, and the Payment and Clearing Association of China. And in fact, since 2017, because Beijing has abolished initial coin offerings and clamped down on virtual currency trading within its borders, many exchanges have been forced overseas. The country was once home for 90% of trades, but the lion's share of mining and major players have since fled abroad. Now, China, of course, has recently taken steps to issue its own digital yuan, seeking to replace cash and maintain control over a payments landscape that has become increasingly dominated by technology companies not regulated like banks. It's no surprise to me, as Chinese capital controls can be challenged by cryptocurrency purchases in the country and transfers out of the country, said Adam Reynolds, the CEO for APAC at Saxo Markets. So avoiding use of them in the country is essential to maintain capital controls. The only tolerable digital currency to a government with a strong capital control mentality is their own central bank digital currency. And this is the latest chapter of China tightening the noose around cryptos, said Tony Treves, managing partner and co-founder of Nexo in London. That's a crypto lender. More broadly, China's digital currency could be the future of money, but then the question is, does it threaten global stability, asks the conversation. China, they say, is making promising progress with testing its digital yuan currency. It's announced the success of an initial pilot in a city near Shanghai in eastern China, where 181,000 consumers were given around 55 yuan of free money in digital wallets to spend participating outlets in the Double Fifth Shopping Festival between May the 1st and the 5th. That was part of a bigger test by the People's Bank of China targeting 500,000 consumers in 11 Chinese regions since April. For those eligible, there is a straightforward app to download which gives them a wallet, and using this to make purchases in thousands of participating stores, they receive discounts. The digital yuan is a version of the normal Chinese currency deployed on a blockchain, which is the tamper-proof online ledger technology that underpins digital coins like Bitcoin and Ethereum. However, this blockchain is permissioned, meaning the People's Bank decides who can use it. The latest round of tests is 10 times the size of the original round that took place in the autumn of 2020. And China has also been trialing the digital yuan cross-border between Hong Kong and neighbouring Shenzhen, which is developing a platform for making the currency internationally viable that involves Thailand, the UAE, and the Bank of International Settlements. Every step forward months increases the prospect of China becoming the first country to put its currency fully on a permissioned blockchain. No date has been announced, but a national rollout seems foreseeable within the next 12 months, most likely in staggered stages. In contrast, Western central banks like the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, and to a lesser extent the European Central Bank, have all been moving more slowly on so-called central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs. They worry about things like getting privacy right, when all transactions will be publicly visible on the blockchain, and about the effect on retail banks. And yet, a digital yuan raises profound questions about global financial stability. The question for the world's other major economies is how to respond. The digital yuan already has the status of legal tender. Payments using it are fundamentally different from those on payment platforms like Alipay or WeChat, or indeed PayPal in the West. Such services may settle transactions very quickly for customers, but behind the scenes are ledgers of large numbers of transactions between the banks of the buyers and sellers, and often also include intermediary banks that settle hours or even days later. The digital yuan bypasses the need for these banks. There is no service fee, unlike these payment alternatives, and in theory, the speed of payments can be even faster. Unlike cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, the currency is also backed by a government. This means that the issuance of a digital yuan is the same as the issuance of cash in circulation, making it just as secure. And it also gives the government better control of the money supply, since unlike with cash, officials can see all the transactions taking place at any given time. Lots of central banks have been looking at developing digital currencies. Some, such as Japan and South Korea, are not far behind the Chinese. The EU is signalling that the digital euro could be 4 to 5 years away. For the laggards, there are several dangers. The first is around international payments. Most transactions between different currencies currently use the US dollar as an intermediary via the SWIFT International Banking Protocol. This means considerable demand for the US dollar, which brings advantages such as enabling the US government to borrow more cheaply. In 2019, for example, China alone exported goods worth $134 billion. Transactions using digital yuan wouldn't need SWIFT or the dollar, with implications for dollar usage in international trade. As many as 120 countries have China as their biggest trade partner, and many question settling in dollars as it adds the unnecessary financial risk of adverse exchange rate movements. China says it is not trying to replace the dollar with the digital yuan, and that the goal is to allow the market to choose how to settle international transactions. A second danger is that if central banks don't meet the demand for digital money, market forces will. Paper money was invented in China during the Song Dynasty in the 11th century, but it is fast becoming redundant. Contactless credit cards have become ubiquitous during the pandemic. Digital money is better still as it costs less to use. And third, countries that fail to embrace digital currencies could find their central banks losing control over monetary policy to cryptocurrencies, be it decentralized initiatives like Bitcoin or centralized ones like Facebook's forthcoming Diem currency. In other words, if these non-sovereign coins become widely used for payment purposes, central banks will find it harder to manage their economies by setting interest rates or changing the money supply. Of course, it is possible to ban cryptocurrencies, but this stands in the way of progress and all the advantages they bring. Now, the digital yuan is happening amid heightened tensions between China and the US and Europe. This clearly makes it a worrying time to give the Chinese first mover advantage over this new type of currency. And incidentally, sanctions, such as those recently imposed on Chinese officials over human rights concerns, will be much easier to bypass if and when the digital yuan is up and running. There could well be calls to sanction those using the currency as a result, which raises numerous questions about viability and consequences, which could be discussed later on. But given how much is at stake, it's vital that the US, EU and the UK begin testing their own digital currencies urgently, and blockchain is reinventing the way we conduct payments, and the risks of being left behind is too great to ignore, he said. Which sort of takes us in two directions. First, it takes us back to Bitcoin, because as it slides further, and, you know, there could be a decline, perhaps even down to the $40,000 support level. Many chartists and technical analysts are looking at Bitcoin's 14-day relative strength index, which entered oversold levels on Tuesday. In addition, an acceleration in its sell-off could mean the coin approaches that support level of 40,000. A fall to that level would mark the first time since September that Bitcoin tested that average over the past 200 days. And breaching it could mean it could fall again to, say, $30,000, where it previously found support. For Stephanie Alert, chief executive and co-founder of FRNT Financial, the moves have more to do with Musk's recent tweet about Bitcoin than the China statement. There's just a bit of a mess. Tesla's entrance into the space saw some of the most aggressive Bitcoin buying I've ever seen, and it has to unwind, he said. The EV maker's retraction that will accept Bitcoin as payment was the catalyst that accelerated the spread consolidation. Then over the weekend, little comments here and there have continued to confuse. And meanwhile, the latest Bank of America fund manager survey showed that long Bitcoin is the most crowded trade in the world right now. The poll captured 194 fund managers with $592 billion worth of assets under management. The fact that the Bank of America manager survey shows that the long Bitcoin trade is the most crowded one on the street right now isn't helping either, said Matt Manley, chief market strategist at Miller Tabak & Co. When an asset becomes the most crowded trade in the BRA survey, it has frequently signaled a near-term pullback in the past. And when you combine this with the news out of China, it's not a surprise that Bitcoin is seeing some more weakness. But I think that this is more to do with China and the broader issues with regard to the tussle between central bank digital currencies and decentralized digital currencies. And I guess the question is, through this bumpy ride, can the two coexist? Or is this ultimately a battle to the death between centralized central bank digital currencies and decentralized cryptocurrencies? And that may not be just a question of user preference. It may actually become an issue of central bank regulation and government control. But the issue I have with central bank digital currencies is the lack of privacy, the ability to impose conditions on the monetary supply more quickly and effectively, and also potentially disenfranchise those who may not agree with government policies, or, to turn it around, that where governments may not agree with individuals. The problem that I see is that the digital line between central bank digital currencies and personal scores, call them credit scores or personal behavior scores, is just too close. So I think we need to be very cautious and careful about the future of central bank digital currencies. But there again, is crypto the answer? Or is there still a place for good old cash in the equation? Well, I guess we're going to wait and see. This is going to be an interesting tussle over the next 2 or 3 years. But in the short term, I think cryptos could slide further. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.